Tropical Cyclone Winston, late in February, left a trail of destruction. It's the biggest natural disaster in our region, with 65,000 people rendered homeless, that's the estimate. ABC local Brisbane radio presenter Spencer Howson has been travelling through Fiji to witness the emergency disaster management that's now underway. Here's a little of what he's seen and heard.
This is the largest school in this district. This was the largest school in this district, and it was well maintained. But as we look around now, we have got nothing left.
Did you have much warning? Were you able to tell children to, oh, I'm just looking down there and there's just piles and piles of schoolwork just destroyed, just ripped apart and drenched and glassed through it. Did you have the chance to tell the students to take stuff home?
What we asked them to do, to leave their books in the school, because we thought the school would be safer. So we asked them to leave their things here, and unfortunately nothing is left.
Rajesh Kumar, head teacher. Most importantly, we need money.
So with money you can buy the things you need, because this is a critical thing. A lot of people in Australia want to send books and send pencils, but they end up just stocked up on the port, and it's not an efficient... And if we send money as well, that money gets spent in Fiji, which is an additional benefit, isn't it?
Yeah. I do agree with that, because when they're sending materials from there, then there'll be additional cost. And if they just send the money here, then we can just buy from here.
Well, Spencer Howson joins me on the line now from Suva. Good morning, Spencer.
Morning, Geraldine.
That was, pretty eloquent, describing all the school books sort of floating around. How widespread is that type of damage?
Well, yesterday I spent the day in Rakiraki, which is a district on the north-northeastern coast of the main island of Fiji. And that particular town, Rakiraki, as we drove into it, there were, I'd say, half the homes just flattened, half damaged, no home left untouched. And then the CBD area of this town, sturdier buildings, no power, shops able to trade, lots of people in town just gathering, not really sure what to do, filling out forms to access government aid. And then as we drove to the other side of the town, we got back into suburbia, for want of a better term, and that's where that particular school was. And we're driving along and turned to the left, and there's the school. Large, looks like sturdy buildings. As you heard the deputy headmaster say, they thought the school would be fine, but no roof. And then when we drove in, there was a block of four, that had been four classrooms, flattened completely. But you know, the headmaster, he said, we're going to open classes on Monday somehow. We have to get the children back. And that's something I've picked up here, is the big focus on getting education back up. You know, there are 900 schools here. 100 of them are still being used as evacuation centres, and 100 of them can't open.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's so critical. We know from natural, you get the schools back and everybody starts to feel, let alone the practical, but they start to feel things are returning to normal. It's an incredibly important psychological moment, actually.
And children then have somewhere to go during the day so that parents can get on with the rebuilding.
Sure.
Say the children are here looking after children, to give their parents the chance to do what needs to be done. By getting back into school takes it that one step further. I've got to say, though, the joy everywhere we were yesterday, and certainly towards the end of the day as people started to come back together, just the children playing on the side of the street, in parks, on the beaches, just that happy laughter that reassures you that the kids, they'll be okay.
They're out of school, you see.
Well, true. And you know what? Actually, the other thing is, you know, shelter is the critical thing. Money and shelter, the critical thing, if I can't say that enough times, because food is not so much an issue. The government here has been providing food, but private companies as well. There was a whole bunch of kids playing on the beach, and one of the mums said, yeah, they're happy today because they just had fried chicken and hot dogs that were provided by a company from Suva. So money to build shelter is the key message.
How far is Rakiraki from Suva, by the way, Spencer?
It was about a three-hour drive yesterday. I think it's about 150 k's, and the speed limit here is 80. You'd normally do it faster than 3 hours, but there's a big problem with power at the moment, and I lost count of the number of times we drove over power lines, like literally over fallen power lines. And that's on the main road.
Dangerous,
on the south
too.
Of the island to the north of the island. No power going through them, but, you know, it slows you down naturally.
There are more than 1,000 Australian Defence Force personnel on the ground. Have you seen them? What are they doing?
Well, I flew in on a C-17 from Amberley a couple of days ago. So one thing that they are doing is bringing aid. The C-17, which is a big transport aircraft, was absolutely chockers with tents and tarps. But the flagship of Navy, HMAS Canberra, which sailed from Brisbane last Thursday night, arrived here on Tuesday and has gone straight up to Coro Island, which hangs off the east coast of the main island. That's where the Canberra is currently based. I've not been to Coro. Our colleague Liam Fox was there yesterday, so look out for his reports. But Coro sounds like it was absolutely flattened.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was hearing last night.
We actually spoke to the Fijian Natural Disaster Management Minister, Inia Seriarutu, and he earlier on breakfast, he told us that we talked about Coro, but he also said, Spencer, that having the tourism industry up and running was crucial to the rebuild process. Let's have a listen.
Most of our tourism facilities are intact, particularly in the Mamanuda, Denarau, Coral Coast, Nandi areas. Tourism perhaps is a blessing for us because most of our tourism are back operating as usual, and of course we welcome tourists again into that part of Fiji.
Yeah, that's the Natural Disaster Management Minister. Is this the message you're getting on the ground too, Spencer?
Yes, so I'm currently speaking to you from Suva, the capital, and for all intents and purposes, I mean, we've just heard about a school about an hour from here that sustained quite a bit of damage, but Suva itself, from my observation being here 2 days now, is a city that is operating as per normal. I'm talking to you from a resort where I just had a full-cooked breakfast by the pool, and I'm sitting now in a bedroom with two queen-size beds and a big flat-screen TV. In other words, and the contrast, I can't get out of my head, obviously, the difference between seeing a bloke who's living with his family of five under a tarpaulin, where 2 weeks ago he had a house, and now I'm here in a resort. If this is how you can help Fiji, then come to Fiji. That's what I want to explore over the next couple of days, is whether everything is open for business. I mean, it's one thing to say that you can stay in a hotel, but I really do get the impression that it's open for business, that you don't need to allow 2 months or 6 months to let them get ready for us. That now they are ready for you to come and visit.
Yes, it's quite tricky to grasp, isn't it, when you're sitting in Australia, that you could have such diversity within the one country. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, it's not hard to grasp, but it is a little bit, you know, hearing such dramatically different accounts.
Oh, absolutely so. And even, you know, the drive from Suva up to Rakiraki. When we were, say, an hour from Rakiraki, you started to really get a sense that it was more than a big storm, that it had been more than a windy event. It just got progressively worse and worse. But some of those areas, there'd be houses built of roofing iron, as many of the houses are, that were still standing, and then the house next door, for no reason, all the windows are gone and the roof's gone. So even within a community, within a street, it's like a lottery. I can't get.
Well, we know that from fire, don't we? Here in Australia, it's
absolutely.
Just another version. Look, Spencer, good luck. It sounds as if you're doing a terrific job. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and please support the appeal. Money for shelter, and everyone from here says thank you. They're all very happy that Australia is supporting, but we need to dig deep. We need to send money over.
Yes, you can help. Spencer Housen from Brisbane ABC, you can help by donating now to the Red Cross by calling 1-800-811-700 or go to abc.net.au/appeals for agencies which have pledged to donate all the proceeds to the people of Fiji.